Friday, Larry.
All right. You still a young bull in these streets? What's going on today? You got two Nike checks. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I love my double Nike checks. Got to stay current.
I feel
What you call it? We had parent-teacher conferences virtually today, which was a drag.
Yeah.
I got to stay from home doing it. It's funny. So the last parent, we had to have, like, the principal and stuff on the call with, like, me and five other teachers she has because, like, that girl and her mom are, like, ratchet. She, like, only 12 years old. But it's funny. The girl's mom was like, Mr. Jean, like, she loves you. She's always talking about you. Which is crazy because we used to go at it like bad. Like, we used to go at it real bad. And it's just funny how, like, a school year can change and stuff. That was funny. But no, it's Friday. My folks in town. I'll see them tomorrow.
Oh, that's what's up. You stepping out tonight?
Nah, man. I'm chilling because I gotta be at work at 8 in the morning. I do on Saturdays. I help run this basketball league. So I gotta be up at 8.
Okay. I feel you.
I'm gonna cool it. Got my little Ciroc right now. It's cool and vibing. Probably gonna watch the Duke Miami game after we finish.
Yeah, that come on at what, 7, right?
Yeah, man, them boys were scaring me yesterday. I was like, darn, we gonna go out like this?
You talking about against Syracuse? I know y'all.
Man, what? I was watching that game. I was like, come on, man.
Man, it looked like that rec league game where the white boy with the left-handed shot could just hit everything.
Yeah, you saw that? That boy was looking like Michael Redd out there. I was like, come on, man. We get everybody best game. And I knew it was going to be close. That's Syracuse and Duke. The line was Duke by 15. I'm like, we ain't beating Syracuse by 15 in an ACC tournament.
And the boys was playing with cash money. They had nothing to lose. So
right, they had nothing to lose.
Just like how Boston College was with Miami.
I had put a ticket in. I ain't no Buddy. I thought Buddy Bohan got suspended.
It was the other. Is there two? Because there one.
Oh, there is two.
There, the other one was suspended. But then the other one was hitting shots.
Yeah, the other one looked like his brother, though. So I don't know what was up with that. Hey, you hear that background noise?
A little bit.
There's people outside. I'm like,
man, when I tell you the timing of. My wife just left the house and all that. It was perfect timing. So really quick, I know y'all probably heard me say I'm married, but yet I'm having a wedding as well. I probably didn't said that in passing. I'm actually having our wedding April 9th in Fort Lauderdale. But, you know, technicalities, married, you know. That's just the way it had to be. Personally, I think more people need to do it that way. But, you know.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like getting officially married. Buying a house, doing that stuff before you have a wedding.
Oh, I never think of it like that.
Yeah, man. Like
people out here buying a house and stuff, dating. So,
I mean, it's tricky, man. Like the way I look at a lot of black couples, I think a lot of black couples kind of they get caught in that. Do I build our future with a home, or do we pay for this expensive wedding? And people put themselves in debt over a wedding. And it's when that wedding gone, you ain't got nothing to do.
I know this couple went 15 bands in debt with the wedding and got divorced 2 years later. I was like, that's just a life situation. I ain't had to happen.
Shoot, put that
fuck a wedding.
Put that towards the condo or a townhouse.
The house, right.
Have something.
The mistake in the courthouse if I could.
It's really the way to go. To be honest with you, if you're gonna do the marriage thing, I think that's the way to go. Like to me personally, and if she ain't with it, it might not be the one for you. Like, you kind of got to talk to her on some real shit. Like, yo, you know that's just some fantasy shit they sold you, right? Like, it ain't about nothing. You just spending a lot of bread on what?
Well, the mistake a lot of people make is they'll see, oh, we got to pay for this big wedding. But when it's, you know, white Indian people doing it, the family is already settled. The family got a house prepared for them. So after the wedding, cool, you got a house. But to me, if you don't have a house yet,
right.
You know, how are you going to start your marriage in debt?
Right. Well, I waste 15, 20 grand, you know, and that's really on the low side too. Like that, especially with inflation now. I remember I was with a woman for a long time. We got engaged. We didn't actually end up getting married at the end, but she had brought a book home, and this was, man, you talking shit, you talking 15 plus years ago, right? And the book was like, how to do a wedding for under $15,000. Like, wait, what?
What you mean, how?
Yeah, like that was a book 15 plus years ago. So, you know, think about now.
That book probably 30,000.
Yeah, now it's 30,000 now. Yeah, 15 years later, they got a book to tell you how to do a wedding in under 30 grand, which to me is like, if you could come up, scrape up 30 grand, you know, like Maul say, like, bro, just put that towards a home. Put that towards something tangible and substantial. A wedding is just a party. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Mm-hmm. To me, if you married for 7 years, we should throw you should throw a dope ass wedding, right?
It's probably pretty fun like for everybody else far. There.
Because big it that far, we should celebrate you.
Throw a party.
People getting married probably be the most stressed one, so it ain't even for them for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They be putting on. It's a lot of just tradition, man. It's a lot of just thoughts of, oh, this is what you do next, and this is what you do next. And don't get me wrong, I do think that weddings can be beautiful. They could be a dope, you know, ceremony, and it can be all that. But at the same time, you should kind of look at your financial situation and be like, yo, wedding or 20 grand towards a house.
Hey, she's spending 15 bands on a wedding.
And people doing it, man. Like,
you know, you need I say you're gonna spend 15. Would you spend 15 bands on a wedding? No, oh, damn.
No, I mean, I think that should be the normal price, like 15. I think if you're going above that, then that's when you start saying, hold on.
So me and Larry on the courthouse tip, Mom said she put that 15 for the house.
I will go. I go to the courthouse, but it all depends on your woman too, man. Like, if you, you know what I'm saying, sometimes that's a dream thing. You know what I'm saying? You just go ahead and fulfill it, man.
That's a lot of money on a wedding. 15 bands.
It is.
Then she won the ring. That's another.
I mean, listen, man. I've seen like $40,000 weddings. I'm like, damn, bro.
Like, I feel like the most expensive it is the
yo, mom, shorter the marriage might talking, be, bro.
She said 15 bands.
Kill the mic. Yeah.
You say how much was it?
Right.
She's getting her vocabulary on. I'm Googling it now. How much does the average wedding cost?
Yeah, I feel
like the average would be like 10 to 15.
I saw that.
Yeah, look at the hall. You know, the hall is what's probably gonna cost. You know what I'm saying? The hall and the food.
We'll see. Okay, all right.
It's the food.
I'm looking at one now. It says the average wedding by state. So like, all right, where you at? Meezy. It averages about $28,000. About 424 guests. Yep. Florida is about, yeah, pretty close to where X said, about 16 grand. I'm in Georgia, it's right at 19,000. So that was right. That's interesting. That's by state, I guess, you know, because you got to look at so what they got as a national average is about 20 grand, with the highest being 30,000. Which is pretty much damn near a tie between Massachusetts and New Jersey, and Connecticut is like right under it at 30 as well.
I feel like the most expensive the wedding is the shorter the marriage is gonna last. That's just my I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
Why you think you're going to? You think the dude gonna be scratching his head like, God damn, I spent $30,000 on this fucking wedding.
Right. I mean, you just going into marriage. Every time she says something, going into marriage with all that debt, then you want a house. Like, a marriage shouldn't cost you $300,000, like, just to say I do.
I mean, man, you know, at the same time, you know, if you find your dream woman, dog, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't say don't do it. You know what I'm saying? It can be good for the both of you.
Yeah, full transparency.
I hear a lot of people be like, "Oh, dudes don't enjoy the weddings." I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, I have never been married, so I can't say." I've been to weddings where I've been inside weddings, in the wedding stuff too. I think most of my dudes enjoy the wedding.
Yeah, I don't want to think anybody think I'm anti-wedding. I ain't anti-wedding at all, but I just don't like. I wouldn't. I don't know.
Just my thing is just have a plan, right? Because full transparency, my wife, she's remarrying, right, with me. So she's had a wedding already. So for her, our foundation was, yo, let's get a house. You know, she had a daughter. So it was like, you don't want to play around with the legalities of, you know, raising a child and things like that. So we hammered all that stuff out on the front end. And now the wedding's kind of like the celebration of all the stuff we built.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's just how we need to do it. Because when you compare yourself to like people who are wealthy or rich, they spending all this money on a dream wedding, but they also already have their home and their foundation. And I think, you know, my advice to dudes out there, marry a girl who wants to be with you forever, not who wants to be married or who just wants to have a wedding, and you're the dude who's just going to be having the wedding with her. So you're going to have the divorce with her in 2 years.
I mean, like don't every man think that's what it's going to be. Everybody get married think that's what it's going to be. It's
no.
Life.
Nah, I wouldn't say that, Measy. Real talk.
Not everybody, but the majority.
I think a lot of people. I think it damn near 50-50. I think a lot of people kind of just buckle under the pressure of like, oh, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do next. They don't necessarily even think that's the one. It's just like, well, damn, I done been with her. The pressure's on. I guess this is what we doing. So, but anyway.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of 26 Degrees. Your Canes podcast that everybody's a fan of, whether they want to admit to it or not. We got Gator love today, man. Gator shot us out today. He was like, listen, you're Gator for life. But he gave us love on the content himself. Actually, I'm going to give bro some love real quick. Hold on. Let me make sure I can pull it up. I actually meant to. I think I did favorite it, but let me make sure I can give my man's proper due. Oh, 813 Edge Hanger 850.
Hey, that's my main man. That's my dog right there. That's like
that's
my brother.
Your guy? Okay.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's he actually shouted this out on Instagram just now too. But yeah, that's my brother right there.
Yeah, he's
he said he got caught up. He was driving. He said he started listening to it. He just kept on listening. He was like, "Man, hold on, let me turn this shit off. I'm a Gator fan."
Ah,
like,
hey, that's good a concept,
shot. That's
good
what concept. Happens.
That's what it is, baby. We appreciate that, man. So shout out to you, bro. You know, we appreciate you giving that love, man. That's real. That's genuine. Hey, I listen to good stuff. Period. I listen to Stadium Miguel. That's within the network. You know, you're plugged in over there, so you got good information coming from their side. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, like, all the Canes fans, check them out, because y'all want to hear Silk just be real, go there. On that show, is no cap. Like, you don't, you know, when he's on the show with me and CJ, he got to do a little, you know, he got to play defense a little bit. But when he's on Stadium Miguel, he keeps it 1,000. So he'll be a little more vulnerable and transparent on that platform. But anyways, yeah, man, it's your boy Larry, man, here as usual. We're going to kick it off. We're going to give y'all a little bit of early spring review after a couple of practices. So this show ain't going to be super long. You know, it's be probably one of our shorter ones. But we do want to keep you abreast of the situation and everything that's going on. Here with me as usual is my boy Measy. He chimed in, but Measy say officially what's up to the people.
Man, what's up, y'all? 26 degrees here on this lovely Friday, man. About to drop to y'all back to back. Give the people what they want, man. It's a barbershop. What's up with you, X? Real Field General.
Chilling, man. Chilling. Trying to enjoy the weekend. It's Friday. First week of spring over. Pretty good week for you, and pretty good week so far.
That's what's up, man. We're going to get into all that in just a few. And with us, again, and shall be here for, you know, the close foreseeable future. But, man, Maul, as usual. Listen, man, let me tell y'all right now, if you feel like things have gotten any better on this side, definitely want to give credit to Maul for helping us up. What we're doing, Maul's been a complete soldier with this whole process, man. So, Maul, say what up to the people, bro.
Yo, what's happening, everybody, man? Just I appreciate those words, man. It means a lot, and just you know, we're gonna keep on doing it, man. I'm learning as I go too, but y'all giving me the chance to just do it, and I appreciate it.
What's the baby name, Maul? Because they on the show too at this point.
Oh man. Peyton, her name Peyton, man.
Oh, what up, Peyton? Yeah. Hey, baby girl. She is vocal.
Yeah, she a talkable. Like what?
She still talking about that pre-show.
She just got, yeah, she y'all just, hear the pre-show.
She just
yeah.
3 months, man.
She got something on her mind, bro.
I know.
But anyways, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get into you know the early spring preview. X is really going to be his time to shine because he's been out there. You know, we've been all reading a few things, you know, from different various sources out there. But, you know, obviously X is out there on the daily, so he has an opportunity to give us a bird's eye view of what's going on. It's interesting because there were certain things that, like, you know, I asked the question on – 26 degrees account. I was like, hey, who you guys want to see starting, you know, XYZ essentially. And my guy, who did I say? I said Latson, Restrepo, and
yeah, Latson, Restrepo, and Smith.
That was my three. Yep. Thank you, sir. Right now, the one that does seem to be kind of solidifying things is Restrepo a little early on. But we'll get into that a little bit. Any personal reviews, man? We just recorded. All right, first off, we just recorded. And, you know, this is a surprise drop for you all. We'd like to do these as much as possible. But we just recorded Tuesday. So we're kind of doubling back quick. We wanted to give you guys the most up-to-date information available. But, you know, like I said, it's a shop, bro. Like, anything particular going on, man? Me personally, I'll kick off a little bit. I'm in the middle of making arrangements for the spring games. I think we made mention on. I'm sure everybody's a fan of this. Most of the people that are a fan of this are a fan of the roll up. But yeah, I kind of made mention that I'm not going to end up actually being at the Miami. Spring game right now. What we're trying to do is throw a little Friday evening event. Hey, you plan on throwing one too, correct?
Yeah. We're gonna do one Friday evening, probably from 8 to 11.
So yeah, it's something we probably gonna be around that same time too. So
yeah, that's why I was trying to get with you. I gotta get with you because I'm trying to see the time.
Yeah, we'll see. But I mean, you know, hey, it's all love, it's all within the family. So feel free to drop in on, you know, if we end up clashing time wise or whatever, we're gonna see how it all ends up eventually. We're working out the details right now as we speak. Actually, I got to speak with Silk tomorrow, so I have more specific details. We'll get the specific details of what we plan on doing the next roll up show. So check that out, and we'll let you know exactly what we're doing. But outside of that, man, really just, man, I ain't gonna lie to you, boy, I've been a chicken with a head cut off. Just every time I look, I gotta be here, there. I don't have a lot of downtime, bro. Like between working my regular gig and podcasting and trying to just get these things in order, it's been a whirlwind. You know, people are like, oh, come do that. I'm like, bro, I'm working on something right now, man. Bigger than that. Bigger than us just kicking it on the casual. And, you know, I love my friends and family that want to do all that. But, you know, just working on something right now. So that's too exciting for me, man. Just in the trenches, getting to it. Anything with you, Measy? You know, like I said, we just recorded a few days ago.
Man, same old, man. Parents in town in Baltimore at my sister's house, so I'm gonna go parlay with them tomorrow.
Be more here.
Yeah, be more. Yeah, ain't too much, man. I can't call it. Just enjoying myself, been busy, you know what I'm saying, trying to get this money and everything.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Shout out to educators, man. X been out there on the field, so I know he ain't been really into too much outside of that, right?
Since the last time we recorded,
We just recorded. Yeah, we just recorded Tuesday, so
yeah,
I know it ain't been a lot.
Actually, had part two that night, didn't you, son?
Yeah, I was drinking, man.
Hey, shout out to the good drink.
That Hennessy had me going and going.
Man, that son wasn't beating you up after that.
Man, Wednesday, it would tear me up. It would tear me up bad, man. I just had to keep drinking water. I was like, I had to drink a whole bottle of water. And I just drank a whole lot of water. So that's how I was able to be all right. But at first, when I got out there, the whistle blew and my head just went, oh, shit, why are you out
here? What? that's funny.
I drink some water, get that out of the way. And,
I seen you tweet about Gatorade. I said, well, that boy be hydrated.
And listen, if people be laughing, I'd be really like, damn, I wish somebody bring me some extra Gatorade out here, man.
Now you need them electrolytes after that.
Because, you know, the team got theirs, man, but, like, every time I walk close by them, it look like they be watching me for some reason. So, I don't know. This nigga finna take that, huh?
As a matter of fact, while we talk about that, quick vice check. I'm on, the last time we did a show on Tuesday, I was on Barrel Armida. Today, I am on Barrel Seagrass. Another bourbon. It's very strong. It's about 112 proof, I think. Bottles out in the other room. But a very good, smooth blend. I don't have the flavor profile off the top of my head on this one. If y'all really, really care, hit me up on Twitter at Larion, LARION, and I can fill you in on the details on it. But this is my second one from Barrel, and I'm going to tell you, man, they make a fine bourbon. These are some of the better bourbons I've had so far. I've only had two. Probably maybe next week, I think I'm going to grab a third one and try that one out and, let you know what's going on.
Should you drink it straight or what you be mixing it with?
Well, I always drink bourbon straight. Only time I really drink bourbon, like maybe a splash of Coke, maybe a splash of Dr. Pepper, if it's kind of cheap shit. That's usually me trying to get drunk versus enjoy a good drink. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different. So typically, I'm going to enjoy my bourbon just on ice, nothing else. You don't want to ruin the flavor profile. And a good bourbon really shouldn't need, much of a blend. So, yeah, I'm usually just, give me mine straight, no chaser, bro. Anyways, what you got tonight, Measy?
I'm just sipping on some Pete Ciroc, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I switched it up. I'm on some Pete Ciroc cooling.
That's what it is. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Little piece of rock and X, you on the hen or are you?
I'm chilling tonight, man.
Little rebound, yeah.
Because you know the weekend, man. I'm finna go up this weekend. So.
Nah, I feel you.
Tonight. So,
all right, well hell, man. Let's get into it, man. Like I said, we ain't gonna be too long tonight. We're gonna let's go over some of the finer points of the early spring training. So I guess like. We'll kind of, like I said, for the most part, we'll defer to X on this because he's been out there. So you were out there during the Manny era. You've been out there. You were there for the Al Golden era as well, correct?
I got there when Al Golden era, I was still coaching. I think his last 2 years, I stopped coaching.
Okay.
His last year is when I got out there on the field with Footballville.
Okay, and then so you were there for Rick,
yeah.
All right,
Rick Diaz, and now Mario.
All right, so this is actually a perfect question for you. Do you feel like there's a distinct, different vibe and/or like energy since when you can compare them, right? So you can go to Rick. You can look at Diaz, and then now you can look at the new Cristobal era. do you think you can kind of mark a difference in the general energy and vibe out there?
Oh yeah, most definitely. The energy, the vibe, the focus is definitely a lot different from the past three coaches. That's Golden, Rick, and Diaz. Definitely the focus. They're teaching the players. You know, they're stopping them doing drills when they're not completing the drill the right way or doing it the right way. And the players, they seem like they a lot more focused. You know, like they don't want to mess up because the thing is, they mess up, somebody's behind them finna take their spot. So the players not really out there just, you know what I'm saying, pussyfooting around anymore. Everything is serious. You can even see, like, when they going through drills, the competition where some of the players be like, oh, man, you know when you got somebody in front of you, like, I'm just waiting my turn. It look like they trying to get in front of each other because they like, man, I don't want to let him outshine me. You know what I'm saying? Because the coach is watching.
Oh, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I think that's an excellent point to make in a shifting culture. And you got to look at, you know, what most of us probably consider the GOAT of college football coaching would be Nick Saban. Nick Saban called out his guys for being lax because they didn't think they would get the opportunity, right? And then their top two wide receivers go down and the opportunity's there. And he's like, well, you weren't ready. And you know why you weren't ready? Because you didn't practice like you could play. So that definitely speaks to a shift in culture. He called them out on purpose. You know, he had to let them boys know, hey, you failed us, to be honest with you. We could have beat Georgia again, but you practiced like you wasn't going to play, so your preparation wasn't there. And then when our guys go down, guess what? We need you, and yeah. You ain't ready. You just weren't. The moment was too big because you didn't prepare yourself, so I think that speaks volumes about a shift in culture. If you're saying, hey, I can see guys looking like ain't no reps off, there's no time down, I got to get this because the competition is fierce. So that's awesome to hear just from a cultural shift about what's going on. You know, just in general. Now, if we're looking at it from a staff perspective, all right, clearly we have one thing. I mean, it goes without saying, is we have more staff, right? So with that in general, you're going to have more attention to detail just because you can afford to, right? Like if I've got somebody to watch, you know, if I got two guys to watch 30 people, or if I got four guys to watch 30 people, the attention to detail goes up. But in general, and we'll just kind of compare last staff versus this staff. What would you say, just, you know, as an observer, is kind of your most distinct difference in the, you know, spring ball vibes? What would you kind of say feels the most different between both staffs?
Well, the fact that you said we got more staff out there, man, there's so many new coaches out there. There's so many coaches that I'd be trying to focus on a certain coach, and then another one runs across the field and he's yelling at kids. I'm like, well, hold on, who is that coach? And then, oh, okay, it's so many out there. You know, that's how good teams are, man. You got more to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Because it's 80, just say it's 85 scholarship on the team. You can't just have 10 coaches. Just, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of players out there.
A lot of players, so, yeah.
When you got 20, 30, you know what I'm saying, 40 coaches who could help you out, now you can make sure everybody is doing their exact job that they're supposed to be doing. Nobody's lacking. Taking the plate off and stuff like that. So, yeah, the staff, man, just being out there, they making sure everybody does their job, no lacking, even if it's superstars, because the players who we pronounce as superstars are getting yelled at a lot. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really just chilling.
I like it.
So like y'all say, what Bubba Bolden, how he would kind of like just be on his own, walking off. Ain't none of that going
on. It wasn't that Bubba Bolden would just be on his own. You know, he just in his own world. That's how he practiced. You know what I'm saying? He's always focused, but he'd just be, you know, he's just Bubba Bolden. He's from out west, man. So he already embraced it, that superstar status, when he got here. It was already for him. Mm-hmm. You know, opposed to a kid who don't got it, who got to work for it.
Well, you know, Bubba was my guy, but he didn't live up to expectations to me. So
yeah, you were his biggest fan. You was on a Bubba train.
Huge fan. Yeah. I mean, he didn't live up to expectations to me. So I hope that you know, he's completely healthy and ready for the league
He did pretty good at the combine.
His combine wasn't bad. Absolutely, it was not bad. Ran a decent 40. He had a pretty solid broad jump, which speaks to his explosiveness. And I don't think he participated in a lot of other things. He didn't look bad, but I don't think necessarily. I'll say that Bubba didn't jump off the page per se on you know, the drills, but
I didn't think best luck to him.
I didn't either.
Like, I felt like there was two Bubbas up until that Clemson game, where I felt like that Clemson game, he competed at a high level. Like, he belonged on that field with that Clemson team. And then I don't know if after that game, he kind of just, you know, he didn't feel like there was enough people around him. But after that game is where I noticed that change, because that's where we gave him the most praise. And then after that is where his game kind of tapered. And people said he was hurt too. But end of the day, I'll say he left it on the field.
Yeah, I got two. I guess I got two things for, I would say, with that. Now, I don't know. It's something you have to ask him. But I feel like he's out there. He gave his all. You know what I'm saying? He got blood on his face. He gave his all. He felt like nobody else. Maybe he felt like nobody else was giving their all too. You know what I'm saying? That could be that. And then maybe he got burnt out at the end of the season, where it was like, man, I ain't really got no more to give you right now. You know what I'm saying? And they gave y'all everything.
I don't think Bubba liked that coaching.
We still got 5-6 games left. So he probably got burnt out, man. And it happens.
Listen, if Bubba listening, make me a fan again, bro. I ain't got nothing against you. I want to be a fan. I want to be like, yo, he came from the U. He's carrying on our safety tradition. I got no issue with that. So, you know, step it up, get healthy, be prepared. I think he has all the physical tools. Just got to put it all together. So
I think that first injury Bubba suffered at Miami set him back, because Bubba was looking real good.
Sorry, he broke his ankle in the Florida State game.
Yeah, I was looking there. Real good. I think that set him back a little bit.
I was there. As a matter of fact, I ran to his mom's a couple of times that day. I didn't know it was his mom's at the time, though. You know, I gave her a little wink. I was like, ah, she all right.
But I didn't know. I was going to ask. Yeah.
I ain't know. She all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, them West Coast boys.
Fairly tall woman, you know. I see we get some
West Coast boys. Their mom's been on point lately. But no, I was going to say, too, with the people on staff, X, I saw a video of the DB drills the other day. It was like four coaches over there. I was like, darn. It was like Steele. Roland Smith was over there.
DVD over there.
DVD was over there. And then Adai.
No, what's it? It's more than that.
It was five.
It's really like six, because it's two younger guys who over there too. Who are like, over there with the DB group.
You can't slack off. Ain't no way.
Yeah, nah. They like I say, they making sure everybody do their job, getting the proper placements on the field when they get on the field, doing 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, stuff like that. So
I got a question.
That's just the whole difference. Everything looks more professional, like we're real team. And I mean to say, like, we've been doing this the last 3 years with Diaz, and you were like, well, damn, like, this is what we was doing. Like, hold on.
I got a question too. Why is Steele working with it seems like he's working with the DBs more than the linebackers. Is that because Charlie Strong being on staff?
Yeah, he's going to work.
Charlie.
He was going to work with the safeties a lot more because Adai would be focused probably more on the cornerbacks.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta remember, Steele in the past with especially I know with Auburn was very creative with his safeties.
He was.
So I think you're going to see him, yeah, with us having a linebacker coach and Charlie Strong that he can trust, he's going to be a little more hands-on with the safeties because he trusts Charlie, and that gives him an opportunity to get in there and really, you know, because I definitely think we're going to see plenty of sets where it'll be Cam, Avante, and James out there at the same time.
I was going to mention that. That's probably why he's working with
them. Well, yeah, I mean, just look at it like this, man. The best group on defense is the safety group, so – if you're the defensive coordinator, you'll probably get close to that too. You'll be like, let me go get close to this because this might be the group that keeps us or keeps me get with this job, or you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, like different days, he'll go down and work with linebackers. He'll go over there and stuff like that. But mostly he's going to be working with the safety group. It's a passing game, man. Everybody throwing the ball, so
right.
So you need to get enough work.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you what. I will give you who I thought was going to stand out early on offense. And then I'll swing it to you, Measy. Pause. But. That sounds wild, right? Like, it sounds insane. But so early on, people that I thought would stand out on offense would be, let's see, I'll give you three.
You talking about for the season or spring practice?
Spring. Okay. The guys that I expected to be early on, you know, because that's all we got right now, right? We're just looking at the early part of spring. Guys that I thought would look great or good early on. All right, I'll start with the most obvious low-hanging fruit. That's TVD, Tyler Van Dyke. I thought Tyler would come out and look well early. By most accounts, I heard he's been looking pretty good. Missing on some of the deep ball type stuff. I think that's just getting a little chemistry with the wideouts and, you know, working on that aspect of the game, but I think that'll come along. My second guy that I had pretty high expectations for on offense would be Xavier Restrepo. I think he's a guy that's, you know, because he doesn't have all the prototypical size measurements that would get a little overlooked, but I thought he's tenacious and a tactician. And so he's another guy that I expected a lot out of early in the spring. And probably my third guy, I would go Elijah Arroyo. I thought that he would shine. I honestly think the line between him and Will Mallory is very thin. Will's obviously more experienced. But Elijah looked good in his opportunities last year. So those would be my three guys that I expected a decent amount of early on offensively. And then, we'll let Measy, you'll say, you know, go ahead and give what you think. And then X, you know, being a guy with the eyes on the field, he can give us some actual perspective from what pops out to him as he's actually there. So.
All right, so my three, I'm going to take Henry Parrish. He's the veteran of the group that's practicing right now. That's not limited. He's coming over with his running back coach, Kevin Smith, so they know each other. He knows how Kevin Smith likes his running back group being ran. I'm going to say Henry Parrish. My second one was Elijah Arroyo. I think Arroyo is a better athlete, might be a better tight end than Mallory, but of course Mallory has years over him. I think Arroyo can break out this year, especially if we run double set. So I got Kevin Smith, I got Henry Parrish, Elijah Arroyo, and my third one, I'm hoping.
You got the coach a lot. You think the coach won?
I'm tripping. my third one was Keyshawn Smith. Okay. I say Keyshawn Smith because I want him to jump out. I think Keyshawn Smith is very talented. I like how he runs his routes. I think he could be a big part of our offense. I was going to say Latson, but I want to say Keyshawn Smith. I'm a big Keyshawn Smith fan. I think him and TBD. I think him and TBD just has to get on the same page and everything. It was hard for him to do that last year, especially with
that. And I think he's got to understand he's that guy.
I think he's raw, man. I think that boy is real good. He has the potential to be very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he starts seeing himself as I'm that guy, I think you'll see him take it to another level.
Right. I agree.
I'm a Keyshawn Smith fan as well. I think he's a guy that if he builds his confidence, you know, wide receivers are you know, the best ones are pains in the ass. And that's an old tradition. But what they do is they want the ball every play. And that's cool because they think they can make a difference on every play. I need to see him step up into that role physically, mentally, and just kind of be the guy that demands that. But I like that.
He's going to be a red shirt.
Sophomore,
yeah, because of the COVID year thing. But I think he's ready. I mean, if they can get on the same page, I think he could be a big problem.
I like how he catches the ball, too. He just seems like a natural pass catcher. Like
I just feel like he don't have yet yards after catch. I just feel like he got to work on that a lot. He'll catch the ball, and then that'll be it. Like,
I think he can be that player, though. It's just the confidence Larian's talking about.
Right. Yeah, yeah. A lot of upside still. He's just got to burn. And you know, that'll I'll be honest with you, Gattis, in his development, he's regarded as a guy that is one of the better developers at that position. So we'll see, you know, how in tune he is, how great he really is at that. But we'll swing the conversation over to X at this point. As a guy that's been there, so you don't have to speculate. Who would you say are three guys early on that have stood out to you so far?
One guy I would say, well, I'm gonna say 1A, 1B. Xavier Restrepo and Rashad Smith. That's a battle that is really taking off, and I think I can't say it's going to be a clear-cut win for either one of them guys because both of them are actually doing exactly what the coaches is telling them. I just think that with Rashad Smith, you have a lot more that the coach can do with the offense because you can put him in the backfield and you can motion him and screen this and screen that. Not saying you can't do that with Restrepo, but it's just, man, you can't teach that type of speed that Rashad has. You can't teach that speed, but 1A, 1B would be Xavier Restrepo and Rashad Smith. They both standing out.
Before you go on, is there any way Gattis can get them on the field at the same time?
I'm sure he can. When you got weapons like that, you always trying to figure out how you want to put all your best weapons on the field.
You think they're fighting for the same spot, the same position?
Yeah, they're going for the same slot position. You know, it could be times where you can just say, well, look, I'm gonna just put Rashad on the outside and let Restrepo be on the inside or vice versa. It just depends on, you know, what type of offensive plays you want to call, but it's a good situation to have.
Which one's catching the ball more consistently?
Okay, so Restrepo is doing a lot. He's doing more of the routes. Rashad, like I said, they got Rashad doing almost everything on the offense. Like, he's motioning, getting screens out the backfield. He's running out the backfield, catching passes, stuff like that. So it's a lot that they doing with Rashad. Again, like I said, you can't teach that speed. He's almost a mismatch for anybody who's guarding him, even a cornerback, because he's just so fast and quick. You know what I'm saying? So those two, they've been doing their thing. Kobe George, another one. he's another guy that's standing out. Like I say, I've been saying this since he was in high school. The man, you throw the ball to him, he's going to catch it, even if he got, you know, his eyes covered. He's standing out at receiver. He's run smooth routes, and he catches the ball with such ease. Like, it's no problem.
Yeah, I saw that last year. I was surprised. Not, I don't want to say surprised, but the way he was catching that ball last year, like, effortless. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said, again, like I say, man, Josh Gaddis has a great situation because he has the playmakers that he didn't have at Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Michigan. And he came out and said it. He said it, like, yeah, man, that's why we lost to Georgia, because Georgia got good players, good fast players and stuff like that. Yeah, we got good players, but we not fast like them. You know what I'm saying? So he has that now. That's an offensive coordinator dream, just to have playmakers where you can just draw something up and say, hey, man, it's going to work because I got the playmakers. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Jacoby George, obviously TBD, he's taking command. He's taking command. Everybody keep trying to throw the quarterback battle thing. And, Jake, stay on his ass. You know what I'm saying? But TBD is taking command of the whole offense. Trying to see who else offensively. The tight ends, they doing me. Everyone looking good out there. I mean, from Mallory to Arroyo to Brentley to even Skinner, man. Skinner is tall, so he's basically probably taller than everybody on the field. But he looks good when he's running his routes. Tight end. You know, other than that, running back. Oh, Dad. Oh, man. Dad Franklin.
He's looking good out there.
He looks real good out there, man. Dad. Okay, they was working on blocking, man, and he's looking like he's getting it down pat.
Yeah, he got the frame. He's got to get the technique. I mean, he's a big boy, so
downhill runner too.
Yeah, if he gets his technique at blocking,
it's gonna be a real problem if once Thad realize that. Well, not even Thad. Once if Thad get in the game, Thad is always moving forward. So. If Thad is, that's going to be a problem, man, because I don't think teams want to tackle Thad in a full game. Because this type of running is, Henry Parris, he looked good. You know, he looked good. Obviously, he's good regardless. So, it just, look, every position battle outside of the kicker punter is being pushed to the tee. You know what I'm saying? So, nothing is given right now for nobody.
And speaking of blocking, I don't want to switch it up, but Mallory, I want to see when the pads come on week after next, how if he improved his blocking. Because
I mean, Gaddis said tight end is going to be blocking. So, I mean,
if Mallory was getting abused last year. I want to see.
Same block, you know what I'm saying? Your chances of getting in the game probably going to be hard, slim to none.
Yeah, I want to see the difference in him and Arroyo this offseason on blocking.
Well, Arroyo wasn't bad. It was, you know, Mallory just was never
a tight end. That's why I want to see the difference. If Arroyo is a better blocker this offseason, will that have a say so on who gets more snaps?
It could.
Yeah, because Mallory's getting abused last year.
They don't own.
Yeah,
they don't owe any, you know, loyalty to these guys. So let's swap the defense real quick. So if I'm gonna go three guys on defense that I kind of expected to shine a little bit, I would go. I'll start with Leonard Taylor. I thought Leonard Taylor would be a guy that I thought he showed some flashes as a true freshman last season. And I definitely thought, hey, you get this guy a little more time, a few more reps, you know, more strength and conditioning at the collegiate level. I expect him to flash early on in the spring. After that, I would probably go a guy that I have heard some good stuff about as well. A guy that I liked a lot because I really think he could probably play in a 3-4 or 4-3. So my second guy would be also on the defensive line would be Elijah Roberts. I think he's a really physical kid. I think he's he has like good body composition that allows him to be able to kind of bulk up if they kind of wanted him to, or lean out a little bit and play either a 3-4 or 4-3 in. And then thirdly, I would say a guy that I kind of came in having high expectations for would be Cam Kitchens was my guy. Unfortunately, Cam's a little banged up early, but I still think he figures in the rotation once he gets healthy. But Cam was a guy just because I think James and Avante, Williams are both probably more physically gifted. I think Cam has it a little bit more between the shoulders. And that's not a knock on those other two. Don't get me wrong. Those guys, I don't think, are ill-prepared to be back there at all. I'm just saying I would give the slight edge to Cam in that department.
Cam has an Ed Reed mindset at safety.
Yeah, yeah. So those would be my three early on that I kind of had early high expectations on. So, Meezy, who you got there?
I'm going to go one on each level. I'm going to agree with you with Atlanta Taylor. I think it's going to be a breakout year for him. We'll see more when pass come on, obviously. But I got Leonard Taylor. He's just a difference maker at the D-line. You don't see too many D-linemen coming out every year like him, especially with the speed he has, the technique he has to be so young. I'm going to go Leonard Taylor. I'm going to throw a rink at linebacker. I'm going to say Wesley Bissaint. I'm going to say Bissaint because how bad our linebacker play has been. He's on the undersized side, but I think Wesley Bissaint can make plays this year. I think he's going to get on the field early, especially, like I said, with our linebacker play. I think he's a smart linebacker. I think he's going to work hard, try to get on the field, especially with him wearing at number 31. I think he did that, too, just to be like, I'm going to come in ready. I'm going to come in to work. And then on the second level, this sounds kind of obvious, but I'm going to say big game James Williams, as Street and X calls him, because James Williams is just different. I think he was one of the best freshman safeties in the nation last year, and I think this is his breakout year. I think he's out here practicing, trying to – I saw a comment today where he hit Restrepo or somebody, and he said he did that just to, like, remind him. Like,
let me clarify. It wasn't Restrepo. I guess they're saying it wasn't him. The hit happened so fast that we thought it was Restrepo, but it wasn't Restrepo. As of now, we don't know exactly who it was. It was somebody. It was a white player. So that's why we thought it was
Restrepo. It was probably Restrepo.
That's why I thought it was.
And Restrepo ain't white.
I mean, yeah.
He's, but at the end of the day,
but he don't think
he's
right.
Right. Well, somebody, right. It wasn't no dark skin person.
Let me say it like that. Actually, he wasn't even light skin. He was white.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it wasn't no dark skin person. But like I say, it happened so fast that I thought it was Shuffle. I just seen Shuffle run across. Right. I just seen a run. Oh, damn. Oh, man.
I think I got him a play. But my bad.
I just had seen Strepo run the route. So that's why when it happened, I was like, damn, okay, that was a Strepo.
I mentioned that because James Williams in the post-practice, he said he did that just to remind people, like, I'm back here, like, yeah. I'm out here. So I think this is it's going to be a big year for James Williams. I might sound obvious me picking James Williams, but I mean, I think this is going to be a year.
It's obvious, but it's based on he just literally might be the best player on the defense. So
exactly. And just how Kevin Steele I've seen pictures of Kevin Steele just working with him, looking at him like Kevin Steele knows, all right, this dude is different. Kevin Steele might be like, this is the best athletic, physically gifted safety I've coached before, and like just to see how close Kevin Steele works with him, that's a big thing with me. So yeah, I got Leonard Taylor, Wesley Bissaint, and big game James Williams.
I mean, all y'all got perfect answers. Well, I ain't gonna say perfect, but good answers. defensively, man. It's just
yeah, Marcus Clark a one, Marcus Clark up there too. I didn't want to add him in, but I have high.
I'm gonna start off with Big Game James, man. Big Game James basically is in asserting himself as to show he's the alpha. You know what I'm saying? He's letting it be known that he's the alpha out there. So when he said that and when he did that hit, he was basically letting everybody know, I'm the alpha. I am Big Game James Williams. You know what I'm saying? So LT, he's another one that's letting everybody know he's the alpha. You know what I'm saying? But the one player that's, and I ain't going to say it's surprising because I know he has the talent. I just feel like he wasn't given the opportunity last year. Chaz Williams, defensive end. The man get off the ball. When they say he could get off the ball.
Has he gotten a little more muscle?
He got bigger. I don't know. Maybe he didn't play a lot because he wasn't good at run defense. Maybe. I don't know. But he could get off the ball when they say hype. They say hype, he gets in the backfield. Easily.
But the way we ran our D-line saying just to get upfield, you're not going to be good at run defense if you're telling your D-lineman, just go upfield, no gap integrity. Who's going to be good at run defense when you're coaching your D-line to be like that? You know what I mean?
Like I said, I don't know. I mean, we had a coach tell us that LT wasn't ready, and then he still had better results than every D-tackle he had last year.
When I heard that, I was so –
But yeah, him, Chaz Williams, he looks he's looking real good out there, man. Another another guy that's looking good out there. Al Blaze is looking good. They have Blaze like in the slot, nickel.
That nickel, yeah.
And he's looking real good out there.
They got Frierson at nickel too sometimes, right?
Yeah. They got Frierson at nickel. Frierson looking good too. But Al Blaze caught my eye, especially today, man, when he was out there on 11-on-11. He was looking like he was the man in the slot, man. They were throwing in, he was breaking up passes. And
that's good, especially with the time he's missed, too.
Yeah, so he was looking
shout
good.
Shout out, AB, man. That's what's up, man. Love to hear that.
Linebacker, it's a toss-up at linebacker. Wesley looks good, but then you can still see the freshman in him. You know what I'm saying? He's still looking around, trying to gather himself in a room of other linebackers who still trying to do the same thing too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he can't really look at no senior or no upperclassman and be like, okay, well, this is what I'm supposed to do because pretty much don't let him know what to do.
That's why I put him in my top three because the other linebackers, he has no person he can look at and be like, what are you supposed to be doing type thing? Because I feel like he might – I mean, you out there, I don't know, but – I don't want to say he's on the same level as him. I saw a coach say, I think Kevin Steele made a comment about Corey Flagg today, and it kind of just sounded like Corey Flagg has heart or whatever. So,
the thing is, Corey Flagg probably, as of now, probably the better linebacker that's looking. I mean, they're looking the best. But, again, once pads get on, we'll see, you know, how things look in full gear. You know, Corey Flagg obviously started last year, so he knows – certain spots to be at. You know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be at this spot when they say hype. Okay. I'm supposed to be at this spot when they say hype. Okay. He knows stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Him and Steve, they knows that. They've been there the longest.
Is there any linebacker that looks maybe a little promising?
You mean like outside of the
same? What I mean is a linebacker that looks like, okay, he's might be better than the rest.
None of them stick out. None of them stick out better than all of them. I mean, it's like
it is what it is.
Yeah, none of them stick out right now. Huff, man, and the crazy thing is when Huff is out there, you can just look at him and be like, man, that boy finna make a play. But you know what I'm saying? It ain't really adding up just yet. Mm-hmm. I know everybody go crazy about Trotman getting out there. Trotman just still looks undersized to me.
He's short though. I heard when he committed, the coaches didn't see him in person, so they really didn't know how tall he was.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how
that's.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard because
That's a bonehead.
But I'm serious, he couldn't visit really during COVID, so they took him he had 110 tackles or something his junior year. But
I mean, the one thing we do know about Trotman, boy, Trotman gonna put his head on somebody. He gonna put his head on somebody's chest, boy.
Right.
So, I love that about him. You know what I'm saying? He gotta get his way in with the depth. You know what I'm saying? Because we have. The thing they be like, we don't have depth at linebacker. No, we got depth at linebacker. We just need somebody to be good. Yeah. We need somebody to be good.
There's a lot of players at linebacker. Yeah, it's just
the guy who I thought would probably come in this spring and do something. He's hurt. Tyler Johnson. He's Jaquan Johnson's brother, younger brother. He's hurt.
Same for Chase Smith, right? I think Chase Smith is going to be competitive there at linebacker, but he's hurt.
Oh yeah, Chase Smith, another one. So
yeah,
you know what I say, man, he's set in stone.
He's going to be linebacker in this defense.
Yeah.
Chase is a
good linebacker. Wait, hold up. So when you said no linebacker is like stepping out in front, you including Keontre Smith in that conversation?
Yeah, Keontre, I'm including him too. He's still looking like. I mean, obviously he could play, but he's not standing out better than anybody. That's the thing.
That's kind of surprising, though. Not really, though.
Well,
but
yes and no, right?
He's undersized and stuff. That's not his natural position, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a new game, man.
They got a new defensive coordinator, so a lot of the things that they were taught, they still
got
to get rid of. Still doing it, and then like, oh, hold on, I'm not supposed to do it no more. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like they got to get it out of their system, because it was one play where Keontre Smith, I guess he was supposed to follow the tight end instead of doing that. It's like he attacked first and then realized, oh damn, I got to follow the tight end. You know what I'm saying? And a split second would cost you your starting job. You know what I'm saying? Just like that. So that stuff, they just got to work on it, man. That's what they're here for, spring, man, to work on what you need.
That's real rap, man. We'll wrap after this. Anybody so far, X, that you had an opportunity to be out there that just kind of popped that you didn't really anticipate, being like, oh, okay, you know, my man's doing his thing out here a little early. Anybody kind of done that or? Pleasant surprise, I guess.
Mostly all the names we pretty much name.
Is it like Al Blaze type?
One name I would say that looks good out there, but I still think he's going to fall behind with in depth is Malik Curtis at cornerback.
Okay, yeah, I have heard a couple of good things about Malik. So that's good though. Still means he could be a good addition in general.
Yeah. The one thing I always was questioning, like, why do they got him at cornerback? I never really understood until today why they got him at cornerback. The man has some good feet. He got good footwork out there. And, you know, if you're a cornerback, you got to have some good feet to move your hips and, you know, get around and run.
Yeah.
So he's already fast to go along with having good feet.
I think year three, year four, he might be able to make good contributions. Good depth piece.
But yeah, Brian Bolleman is another one who's looking. The first 2 days, he looked real good out there. Today, I didn't pay much attention to him. I seen him out there a couple of times, but other than that, Brian Bolleman, the first 2 days, he looked good. It just looked like everybody's a lot more focused, man. They trying to do the things that the coaches are exactly saying. It's not, oh, let me just go out there and try to make a play. And then, you know, if I don't, they ain't going to care. If I miss a tackle, they ain't, you know, they like, nah, man, I don't want to miss this tackle because I might not get the opportunity anymore.
I want to jump back to offense real quick. With the wideouts battling it out, I know he has the talent and all that, but do you think him being out for spring will set Romello back a tad bit?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, I know the talent and all that's there.
Cream gonna rise. Yeah, I mean, if he's, you know, that guy, he'll get his opportunities to get back.
And the thing is, you know, okay, so Romello, he's that big outside receiver that we kind of lack. Like, outside of Latson, Keyshawn Smith is 6'1". That's not a big threat, big tall threat. Redden, Lassen, Redden, and Romello are the only three receivers we got on the roster that's 6'2", 6'3".
Redding might have the best vert out of all the best range out of all the wideouts, seems like,
too. Man, one thing I see about Redden, Redden works hard, man. If he could figure everything out when he get on the field.
And stay healthy.
Yeah, but he works hard.
How Lassen looking, X?
Lassen looking good. Lassen looking good. Man, Lassen beat somebody on the play, but they didn't throw him the ball. He just ran right by him. And I was like, well, goddamn, guy, see that? But I guess the play wasn't designed for that. You know what I'm saying? The quarterback got the ball out of his hand quick. But I was like, damn, Lassen just ran by somebody. I forget who it was he ran by, but I was like, oh, man, if that's him and we're going to throw the ball deep, that's money.
Yeah, I love his size out there, man. He looks like a well-built wide receiver, big, tall wide receiver. I like how
he got a lot bigger because he used to be stick straight up and down, but now like he got, you know, he filled out up top a lot. So.
Okay, well that's what's up, man. We'll wrap it there, man. I don't think there's anything else much to get into. You know, again, it's early spring. Just want to give you all some early observations, you know, especially with X being able to provide some firsthand information, not secondhand information. So definitely appreciate that. Canes are actually, you know, they're in the tournament tonight, basketball wise, 23-9. They probably gonna make a tournament, but some people think they might be on the bubble. They play they gotta play Duke next. So
tonight, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting ready to play tonight, actually. So
let me ask y'all a question. I'm thinking about putting a little ticket in.
We gonna win.
say Duke ain't hurt UM.
I was gonna put a ticket in. Duke is -9, which I think is a lot.
That's right. I give Miami +9.
I think so too, because Duke was -15 yesterday.
And Miami plays Duke pretty well, you know, over the last 5, 7, 8 years, you know.
They do.
So yeah, if I'm putting money, I take Miami plus the points, but I think Duke wins this match. You know, that'd be my order latest matchup.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. 8, 9, whatever.
That's a decent amount.
Duke ain't like that right now for them to be saying 8 9 or 8-point favorites over anybody. Right. Miami, they scrappy, man. They gonna play to the end. So I'd definitely take that. Well, +8. Plus, what is it? 8?
No, it's 9.
I'll take that.
I take that. All right, well, hey, man, we appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be back for you guys, obviously, ASAP. We'll be dropping our normal Fridays.
Hey, next week, the team is on spring break, so won't be any practice next week.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So, yeah, we won't have any of that, but we'll have some content for you nonetheless. We'll have something to talk about. There's always something to talk about. So, you know, thank you.
We're probably talking about some recruits who visited this week. Don't practice next week.
All that. It's always something.
Hey, listen, today, man, I was kind of driving me crazy because I was trying to pay attention to recruits while at the same time while I'm watching the team. I'm like, boy. I'm back and forth. Like, my head's on the swivel. Like, oh, it was a lot of recruits out there, man.
Yeah, we had a linebacker, top 100 linebacker from Louisiana. I didn't even know was going to be out there who spent a lot of time with Ed Reed today. They just popping up like.
Hey man, I'm gonna give y'all a little story about Ed Reed. It'd be so funny.
Story time.
It'd be so funny when you be out there on the field, right? And then you know, once they start splitting up into their groups, you just see man Ed Reed just come out of nowhere. He just start talking and then immediately the whole media is like they gather around one area just to look at Ed Reed. I'm like. Is the media starstruck still? The Ed Reed is there.
We'll say this because actually that's been a question, you know, since we went off to that corner a little bit. Ed is still with the program, still around the program. Nothing, you know, the future we're not sure of, but he's there. He's there and he's working. So
Ed's saying he's there. He rocking with you, man. He's still there, chief of staff.
I think it's a good spot for him, right?
Hey, you know what I think makes it more enticing too is because the staff Mario put together to have like Jason Taylor and these other big dog coaches out there and Ed Reed out there. You would know more than me, but is Ed Reed showing up more than he showed up last year?
Yeah, he's there every day. Right, he's been, right. He's been to practice every day this week. He's been there. He's been. We had three practices. He's been there every day this week. I mean, he came to some practices last year. You know what I'm saying? The year
before. He didn't go to no three straight.
There. Yeah, he's there every day so far. Yeah. He's more vocal and active. Same with Jason Taylor. You know what I'm saying? He's vocal and active out there.
Shout out to the former Kane showing up, man. We had Devin Hester this week.
Yeah, Hester
came. We had Lamar Miller show up. We had KJ Osborne, man. That's a good.
John Beeson. The legend, Torbert Bain, Jaquan Gonzalez.
Man, shout out to Mario. It's a lot.
I mean, that was what Mario said. Mario said, man, y'all come back. You know what I'm saying? And every practice so far has been a lot of former Canes out there that's just trying to get them back to where, you know what I'm saying, we should be at.
It's a new era.
That's real. All right. Well, hey, man, we hope y'all enjoyed the show. We enjoyed bringing it to you. Again, we'll be back next week, per usual. 26 degrees, man. Love is love. We out.
Salute.
Out. Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.